Good morning. What a privilege it is to read to you this morning's reading, and that can be found Matthew chapter 6, and we'll be reading from verse 19 through to 24. It's Matthew 6, 19 through to 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you, is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Amen, so God's ready.
Well, I'm actually not supposed to be here this morning. I was meant to be preaching at another WPC congregation, and you were meant to be listening to another WPC preacher. Unfortunately, that fell through, so here I am. But rather than continuing through the book of Habakkuk and throwing our Bible studies out, we're just going to look at something different this morning. Before we do that, though, let me mention a couple of things. Firstly, I and the other fellas who went on the preacher's retreat throughout the week had a really profitable time. It was more like a preacher's critique than a preacher's retreat. We spent a few days together reading about preaching, talking about preaching. We listened to one another's sermons and then gave half an hour's worth of feedback. Here's what you could change and here's what you could do differently. All in the interest of sharpening one another in our preaching ministries. And so it was a humbling experience, but it was a valuable one for all of us there. Another thing I want to mention is that Part B of our Habakkuk study guides are now available. So if you belong to a Bible study group, make sure you grab a member's copy on your way out. If you lead a Bible studies group, make sure that you grab a leader's copy on your way out as well. And even though we're not working through Habakkuk this morning, there is a study this week in those books for all the home groups. So having said that, how about we pray, and then we're going to look at budget-proof treasure. Let's pray. Great God and King, we give you thanks this morning that you have revealed yourself to us, firstly through your amazing creation, but particularly through giving us your word. Thank you that the Bibles that we hold in our hands, we thank you that these books contain your words of life. And so we thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the freedom to read it and study it. And we pray that as we do that this morning, your spirit will work in our hearts so that we don't just hear your word, but we are empowered to actually obey and do your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple of years ago, Braden came home from school and he had made a treasure map. And all the kids in his class had been told to get a blank bit of paper, draw an island on it, and then draw some landmarks and put an X there to mark the spot. That's where the buried treasure was. And they ripped corners off and they crinkled it up and then they stuck it in an oven to give it that authentic aged look. And Braden brought this treasure map home, all very excited. And I said, well, what did you bury there? And he said, well, nothing. We just had to draw the map. But it took me back to my childhood, and I remember doing this with my sister. We would sometimes, if Dad wasn't home, we would actually dig a hole in the backyard and we would put something in it, and then we would put a treasure, inverted commas, in the ground, and then we'd draw a map and we'd give clues and some directions so that the other sibling could actually find what was hidden in the ground. It was good fun. We did that a lot as kids. Kids have this fascination with treasure maps. Always wondering, wouldn't it be great to find some buried treasure? As we get older though, I think our fascination with treasure maps, that diminishes, but our fascination with treasure certainly doesn't diminish. as adults, we are still as interested in and as excited about treasure as any kids we might know. I'm not talking about treasure chests and gold bullion. I'm talking about our love for other treasure, our love for money, our love for big TVs, our love for houses, our love for a nice car. As adults, we grow out of our love for treasure maps, but we don't grow out of our love for treasure. And because of that love for treasure, every time a new federal budget is released, most people's first question is, how's this new budget going to affect me and my treasure? Will the new budget put more in my pocket, or is it actually going to take a little bit out of my pocket? Will the new budget make me richer, or will the new budget make me poorer? How's the new budget going to affect my treasure? You see, we all know, don't we, that with each new budget, there are going to be some winners and there are going to be some losers. Because despite what Robert Mugabe might say, you can't just print more money and fix the problem. The money has to come from somewhere, doesn't it? And as such, with each new budget, funding gets drawn away from one area in order that it might be put into another area. And the inevitable result is there are winners and there are losers each time a budget is released. Some people end up with more treasure, some people end up with less treasure, but it all gets decided by the treasurer. And because of this, budget time can be an emotional time for some people. Because amongst other things, it reminds us all that our earthly treasure isn't as safe, isn't as untouchable, isn't as bulletproof as we might like it to be. And in the passage we just read before, this is precisely what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about earthly treasure and how it passes away, and he's contrasting that with heavenly treasure, which will not pass away. And so this morning I want us to think about budget-proof treasure that is invested in heaven as opposed to earthly treasure, which is invested in the here and now and which will one day pass away. So I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We don't have a PowerPoint this morning. That was one of the things that gave way in the mix-up. So no PowerPoint, so please follow in your Bible if you've got one. And the first thing we see is that Jesus talks about the impermanence of earthly treasure. It just cuts to the chase. It's very blunt, very clear, and he shows us the futility of just focusing our lives, building our lives on earthly treasure. Look at verse 19. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." So notice firstly that expression, lay up. In the Greek, that means to pile up, to build up, to heap up. He says, don't lay up treasure for yourself. I might be showing my age here, but when I hear this, my mind automatically goes to Disney's Scrooge McDuck. And you might remember that the big silo he had filled with gold coins. And for fun, he would climb into that silo and he would actually swim around in this sea of gold coins. And it wasn't doing anything. It was just sitting there, making him feel happy, making him feel secure. And he spent his whole life trying to protect that big silo full of money. That was his treasure. His life revolved around that. Now, I'm guessing not many of us have that kind of money, that kind of treasure laid up. So what's Jesus talking about to us? Is he saying, don't own money? Is he saying, don't own treasure? Is he saying money's bad, a nice house is bad, possessions are bad? Well, no, he's not saying that. He can't say that because the scriptures make it clear that God is the giver of every good thing. And God says that we should be sharing, but also enjoying the good things that he has given us. In 1 Timothy 6:17, for example, and this verse, it's pitched at those who are well off, but it says, God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. God's not anti-earthly treasure. He's not anti-possessions. In fact, he is the giver of those things. And so when Jesus says, don't lay up earthly treasures for yourself, he's not saying, If you want to be godly, you need to be flat broke and just give everything away and own nothing. He's not saying that. Rather, his point is that we need to make sure that we're not building our life around our earthly treasure. We're not shaping our life around it. Jump down to verse 24 with me. This gives context to what Jesus says in the earlier verses. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and he will despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." And so Jesus' point in this whole section is to teach us that we can only be mastered by one thing at a time. We can only be living for one thing at a time. Well, let's put it in different words. Only one thing can be the number one thing in our life. And whatever that number one thing is, that thing is effectively and is functionally our God, because our life gets shaped around that one thing. And so if God really is in the number one position, our lives should be shaped around what he wants for us. But if money is our number one thing, then our life is going to be shaped around getting more of that. Only one thing can be the one number one thing in our life. One preacher I was reading said, "It's not wrong to possess things, but it is wrong for things to possess us." That's very true. It's not wrong to possess things, but it is wrong for things to possess us. Because only one thing can be the number one thing in our lives. Jesus says we can only be mastered, truly mastered by one thing at a time. And so back in verse 19, when Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth," he's talking about someone's life goal. He's talking about someone who is living to pile up, to heap up wealth. And they're focused on their earthly treasure. They're living for their earthly treasure. Now, if Jesus needed to say this 2,000 years ago in dusty old Jerusalem, how much more do you think he needs to say this to us here and now in a wealthy country in the Western world? We need to listen to this, because the wisdom of the world today is that we should be laying up treasures on earth. Work hard, save well, budget wisely, invest sensibly, and then you're going to be set for life. You'll have a golden nest egg, and you'll be able to live where you want. You'll be able to holiday where you want. You'll be able to drive the car you want. You'll be able to get the elective surgery you want. Pour all of your time and energy and devotion into laying up as much earthly treasure as you can, and then you'll be secure. Then you'll be happy. That's the wisdom of our world. And the Western world is worshipping the God of earthly treasure. Why do we do that though? Let me read you from 1 Timothy 6 verse 17. I think this highlights the problem here in Australia. Paul says this to Timothy: "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." See what he's saying there? He's saying, don't set your hopes on the uncertainty of riches. Don't place your confidence in your riches. Don't sleep easy at night because of your riches. Rather, sleep easy at night because of the God who actually gave you those riches. He's telling us to avoid idolatry. He's telling us to avoid making our earthly treasure our peace and our security and our source of happiness. But sadly, for many Australians, maybe even for some of us, earthly treasure has become a god. It's their greatest love, greatest joy, greatest security, and it shapes the way that their lives are lived. So many people have done what Paul says not to do, and they've set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. Why is this such a bad idea though? Jesus tells us in verse 19, He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. So his logic's very simple, very clear. He says, don't pour all of your time and your energy and your hope into earthly treasure, because earthly treasure isn't bulletproof. Things get eaten, things rust and decay, and things get stolen. Quite simply, the world we live in, it isn't a safe place to invest our most treasured treasures. Say that again. The world we live in isn't the safest place to invest our most treasured treasures. And Jesus, he's only mentioned a few mundane, everyday things here. Moths, rust, thieves. He hasn't talked about war. He hasn't talked about terrorism. He hasn't talked about bushfires. He hasn't talked about a crashing stock market. He hasn't even talked about a federal budget. He only scratches the surface and lists a few things, but that's enough to show us that if we invest everything we have and all that we are in this life and in earthly treasure, then we're investing in something incredibly insecure. We're investing in something that will fade away. You know, during the recent financial crisis, a number of prominent businessmen actually committed suicide when the bottom fell out of the market. And this wasn't because they were so poor they had no clothes and no food and nowhere to live. They still had enough to live. But many of them actually committed suicide simply because they felt like they had nothing left to live for. That they committed suicide because they'd been building an earthly kingdom out of earthly treasure, and that kingdom just fell apart. The moth and the rust of the financial crisis ate it away, and they felt like they had nothing left. And there was a huge spike in suicides around America, also around Europe, because of that financial crisis. And you know, this is why we've got to listen to Jesus here, because if we're building a kingdom exclusively made up of bricks and mortar and houses and a bank balance and technology and clothing, that's such a bad long-term investment. That kingdom can get ripped out of our hands at any moment by anyone or by anything, but certainly by death when the time comes. And so Jesus' big idea here, it's simple but powerful. Don't lay up treasures for yourself on earth. Don't make them your hope, your security, your focus, because they are going to be a bad, bad, bad long-term investment. And so firstly, he tells us about the impermanence of earthly treasure. But he contrasts that in verse 20 with the permanence of heavenly treasure. Look at verse 20 with me. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So on one hand, don't invest all of your time and energy and hope into pursuing earthly treasure, but do invest time and energy and your hope into pursuing heavenly treasure. Or to put it differently, don't live for the kingdom of the earth, rather live for the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven, heavenly treasure, is moth-proof, it's rust-proof, it's thief-proof, and it's even federal budget-proof. God's kingdom is the only kingdom that is completely bulletproof. No one or nothing can take away treasure that's invested in that kingdom. And notice here, Jesus isn't just giving us a command. He's actually appealing to our logic. It's not lay up heavenly treasure or God will be angry. It's lay up heavenly treasure because that's the only rock solid investment you will ever make. He's appealing to our logic. He's essentially saying you can spend 80 years building your little kingdom, which will be ripped out of your hands at some point, or you can spend 80 years investing in God's kingdom, which you will be able to enjoy for all eternity. And so Jesus is appealing to our logic. He's saying, look at the numbers. One kingdom will fade away and will be gone. The other kingdom is everlasting. Which one are you going to invest in? So what do we mean when we talk about heavenly treasure? We know what earthly treasure is, but what does he mean when he talks about heavenly treasure? Well, I'd like to suggest that heavenly treasure is a person and is a place and is a people. I'll explain. Firstly, when we talk about heavenly treasure, there is a person. Not just any person. I'm talking about the person of God. Those who possess heavenly treasure have a relationship with the person of God. And in this life, they call him Father. And in the next life, they're going to get to see their Father face to face for all of eternity. They're forgiven, they're accepted, they're loved by the person of God. And that's wonderful. That's at the heart of heavenly treasure. We get to call God Father. There's a relationship with the person of God. But there's more to this heavenly treasure than that. There is also a place. There is a place called heaven that we will spend eternity in if we're loving and trusting Jesus. And that place is wonderful. There's no war, there's no death, there's no terrorism, there's no conflict of any sort, no tears, no sickness. It's an amazing place. And that place is going to be infinitely better than any place on earth. The Bunya Mountains, where we spent a few days this week, they're beautiful. But they're nothing compared to heaven. Pick a place, any place on earth, your favorite place. Heaven is infinitely better than that. And part of heavenly treasure is the place of heaven. But you know, part of the reward is also a people. Because heaven isn't just a place where God dwells with his angels. No, heaven's a place filled with redeemed people. And part of the great reward of heaven is getting to spend eternity with brothers and sisters in Christ. And in this life, we might think, that doesn't sound so great. Have you met some of my brothers and sisters? There's sometimes conflict within a church, even amongst Christians. But in the next life, when we get to spend eternity with perfect, sinless, compassionate, thoughtful, godly, altogether godly Christian brothers and sisters, that's going to be amazing. Part of the reward of heaven is spending eternity with redeemed brothers and sisters in Christ. And so when the Bible talks about heavenly treasure, it's not talking about gold stacked up in clouds. It's talking about something infinitely better. It's talking about an intimate relationship with the person of God. It's talking about the wonder of a place called heaven, and it's talking about a joyful, sinless community of redeemed people. Heavenly treasure is a person, a place, and a people. And Jesus says, that's the treasure that you need to be pursuing. That's the treasure you should be laying up. Not only because it's infinitely more precious, but it's also infinitely more durable. That treasure will last for eternity. And so if you're anything like me, you'll think, okay, that makes sense, but what's it actually mean to lay up treasure in heaven? We get how to lay up treasure on earth. We work hard, we save money, we budget. We get how to lay up treasure on earth, but what's it mean to lay up treasure in heaven? Well, first things first, it means that you need to become a Christian. And you need to come to God in prayer, and you need to say, Lord, I've made idols out of all sorts of things. Lord, I've treasured all sorts of things more than I've treasured you. Please forgive me for not living my life wholeheartedly for you. Please forgive me for all of my acts of rebellion, my sin. And please, Lord, give me a heart that loves you and that trusts you completely and trusts in what Jesus has done on the cross. So the first way you lay up heavenly treasure is by running to the cross, confessing your sin, and placing your faith in Jesus. But what about after? What about after you've become a Christian? Is Jesus saying that we should continue to lay up treasure in heaven? I think the answer to that is yes and no. No in the sense that we can't add to our salvation. We can't improve on Jesus' perfect sacrifice. And so in that sense, our eternal heavenly treasure is absolutely safe, secure. There's no more work to be done. But that there is a sense in which we are to continue laying up treasure even after we've been saved. And that's by taking our earthly treasure and using it for heavenly purposes. That's what I want us to think about in our third and last point. I want us to think about the heavenly usefulness of our earthly treasure. You see, even though Jesus has talked about the impermanence of earthly treasure, and even though he's talked about the permanence of heavenly treasure, he doesn't want us discounting just how useful our earthly treasure can be in investing in heavenly treasure. Flick over with me, please, to Luke chapter 12. Jesus has a bit more to say about our treasure there. You know, Jesus actually has a lot to say about money, a lot to say about treasure. Someone I was reading this week said that Jesus talks more about our money than he actually does about heaven and hell combined. Didn't add it up, but obviously there's a lot in there. But in Luke 12, 32 to 33, it's a very similar passage. Jesus says this. He says, "Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So that's in the other bit in Matthew as well. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." But do you see what he's saying here? He's saying what you do with your earthly treasure, that actually says an awful lot about your heart. If you hoard it up and hoard it up and hoard it up, that shows that your heart is still very fixated on this life and on this kingdom. But if you give away earthly treasure, if you use earthly treasure to show Christian love and compassion and mercy, then that actually shows that your heart is more fixated on God and on His kingdom. Because rather than storing up, rather than laying up earthly treasure for your kingdom, you're actually using up earthly treasure for God and for His kingdom. And Jesus says, sell your possessions, give to the needy, use your earthly goods, your earthly treasure, and then he says, and you'll provide yourselves with money bags that did not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail. So if your heart really burns for the Lord, Jesus is saying, you will use your earthly treasure for heavenly purposes. Remember the parable of the talents. One of the parables Jesus told. And in that parable, Jesus talks about three men. Each of them are given a measure of money. And they're all told, go and use this wisely for me. Two of the men went and used it well. They invested wisely. They made a good return. But the third guy, he went and hid his money in the ground and he did nothing with it. And the first two men, when the master returns, the first two are praised. God, the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. But the third man is rebuked because he didn't use what his master had given him for his master. He effectively wasted it. Now the meaning of that parable is not simply invest well, work hard so that you can make a lot of money. The meaning of that parable is that God, as our master, he's given us every single thing that we have. And he doesn't give it to us and say, here you go, I want you to lay up more for yourself, for your kingdom. He actually says, here you go, I want you to use up what I've given you for my kingdom and for my glory. Don't lay it up for yourself, use it up for me. And you know, as I look around the room, we're a mixed bunch of people. Some of us have been given a lot. Some of us have been given a little. The point isn't how much we have. The point is realizing that everything we have is from God, and everything we have should be used ultimately for His glory. And it's not just about money, is it? It's also about possessions. It's also about the opportunities that God's given us and the gifts He's given us and the character qualities, all the things that God has given us. We should use all of it for Him. But we're focusing on money this morning, on earthly treasure. And we need to know that God's goal in giving us earthly treasure is not so that we can just pile it up and pile it up and pile it up more and more for ourselves. He gives it to us so that we can use it and invest it in heavenly treasure. And so there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's not. Nothing wrong with having a big house, having a nice car. The challenge for us, however, is to use those things for the glory of God and for His kingdom. And as we use those things, we're actually laying up treasure in heaven by using up treasure on earth. So let me ask, do you use your money to show Christian kindness to those who are struggling? Do you use your money to support the local church, support missionaries? Or do you use your money for yourself? Is your money poured into God's kingdom in some way, or is it all poured into your 80-year little kingdom that one day is going to pass away? What about your house? Do you use your house for God's purposes? Do you invite non-Christians into your house to show them Christian love and compassion? Do you invite Christians into your house to fellowship with them, to build them up, to encourage them? Do you use your house selfishly for you and for your little kingdom? Or do you use that for God and for His kingdom? What about your car? Do you use that to show love and compassion to those who need a ride? What about your tools? Do you use them to help those in need? What about your books? Do you share them to actually give answers to people who have questions? Look around your house when you get home and think, how can I use that thing that God has given me for His kingdom, rather than simply laying up more and more for me and my kingdom? Everything we've been given, all of our earthly treasure, has been given to us by God, and the goal is not to lay up more and more and more. The goal is to use it up for the glory of God. So how's this work? What's it mean to actually lay up heavenly treasure? How does earthly treasure convert into heavenly treasure? Well, we've all heard it said before that when we die, we get to take nothing with us. Now, that is almost true. It's not entirely true, though. Because if God chooses to use our Christian life and our Christian witness to draw someone else to Him, then there's a sense in which we do get to take something with us to heaven. Another soul, another person. Take my parents, for example. They invested themselves in their children. And they prayed with us. They read the Bible to us. They took us to church every week. And they encouraged us, trust in Jesus, repent of your sin, run hard after God. And so from a human perspective, I'm a Christian today because my parents led me to the Lord. I know from God's perspective, I was elected and chosen by Him. But mum and dad were the tools that God used to draw me into His kingdom. And so we could say, because my parents poured time and effort into building God's kingdom, into laying up heavenly treasure, now when they die and go to heaven, they actually get to take something with them. They get to take me. Hopefully not on the same day, but they know that I'm going to spend eternity with them in heaven because of that investment. You know, I think one of the greatest ways that we can use our earthly treasure to invest in heavenly treasure is by pouring our God-given resources into people, by loving them like Jesus, by helping them like Jesus, by pointing to Jesus, by being that example for Jesus. And we've been going through Acts, haven't we, with Clint for the last year or so. And all through Acts, we just see the Christians there, that they're sharing their money, that they're sharing their resources, that they're sharing their food, and they're giving to missionary endeavors, and they're helping those who are actually in famine. The early church was great at giving their earthly treasure to actually lay up heavenly treasure. And all their giving and all their generosity was accompanied with all this revival. People were repenting and were believing. Missionaries were able to go out and be funded, and more people were repenting and believing. Throughout Acts, we see earthly treasure being converted into heavenly treasure through the sovereign purposes of God. There's a good example of this in church history. Around AD 250, the Roman Emperor Decius, he is responsible for a ton of Christian persecution. And like a lot of Roman empires, he wanted to fill his banks. He wanted to fill his vaults with as much gold, with as much treasure as possible. And so he ordered that all the Christian churches be looted and all their treasure be brought into his coffers. And so one day the emperor's officials stormed into a church and they approached the Christian leader there, a fellow by the name of Laurentius. And they said, "Show us your treasures at once. The emperor demands it." And Laurentius, he turned and he pointed to a table where there were a bunch of orphans and some widows eating a meal. And he said this, quote, "There are the treasures of the church. We have invested all that we have in them." And the authorities weren't especially impressed because they went away empty-handed. But think about it. If that church's treasure had been gold and silver and possessions, they would have lost everything that day. But because they had used up their gold and silver and riches, instead of laying up gold and silver and riches, they lost nothing. And you know, even more than that, even if those orphans and widows, even if they'd been killed, would that have made the church's investment a poor investment? No, because no doubt a number of them, maybe all of them, had been brought safely into the kingdom of God through the Christ-like kindness and witness of that church. And no doubt there are thousands of stories like this one where Christians have poured their earthly treasure into teaching people and into loving and caring for people in the prayerful hope that their efforts will be converted into heavenly treasure in the form of people being saved. And so what I want us to understand from this part of God's word is that Jesus doesn't simply command us to get rid of earthly treasure so that we can focus on heavenly treasure. Not at all. Jesus commands us to use up our earthly treasure so that we can lay up treasure in heaven. So let me ask you to look honestly at your heart, at your life, and answer this question. Do you think that you're laying up earthly treasures for you and for your kingdom? Do you reckon that's your focus in life? Or are you using your earthly treasures for God and for His kingdom? Do you think you're more focused on the temporary or on the eternal? Are you living for the now or are you living for the future? Which kingdom do you think you're truly focused on? God's eternal kingdom or your little 80-year kingdom? Let me leave you with the words of Jim Elliot. He was a martyred missionary to Ecuador. He once famously wrote this: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And he's especially talking about life, but it applies equally well to earthly treasure. "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Where is your greatest treasure? In heaven or on earth? That's what I want to leave you with this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that this is a challenging part of your word, because so often we are tempted to focus way too much on the material things that we have or that we want to have. But we live in a culture where possessions mean so much, where money means so much, and it's so easy to buy the lie that these things matter more than anything else. And so please, Lord, through the things that we've talked about this morning, please help us to see and to remember and to feel just how impermanent our earthly treasure is And please help us to remember that you've given it to us, not to heap up, but to use up for your glory and for your kingdom. And so, Lord, please, as we head home, please help us to think long and hard about how we can use all that you've generously given up for your glory and for your kingdom, whether it's by giving away some of what we have or whether it's by inviting people into our home or offering to share what we have, Lord, whatever it is. Lord, please, may your Spirit show us how we can use our earthly treasure to better lay up heavenly treasure. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.